will be one of the most easily accessible business districts in Metro Manila.
And then you've got the Skyway C5, C6 alignment that goes through Arcan.
So that, again, is going to be a key infrastructure that from C5 now you could connect to Arca and get to the Skyway. So these are some examples of infrastructure projects that are planned and hope to be completed within the next 3 to 4 years that will basically benefit our various estates. Moving to Cebu, there are a couple of key projects that have been planned. One is a Cebu BRT, which will basically pass through both Cebu Business Park and Cebu IT Park, both are developments, as well as the Cebu Cordova Bridge, which will go from Cordova all the way to the SRP parcel, which, as you know, we've actually won a bid together with SM in that area. Moving on to Davao, there's the Davao Bypass, and we already have about a 200-hectare parcel in partnership with the Florendo Group to develop in the area. On top of the different developments we have there, particularly Abriza, as well as the partnership we have with the Alcantara group. So that gives you a little bit of flavor of our estates, the different infrastructure projects, our land bank, that we will basically utilize to be able to make progress to be able to meet our targets by 2020. On residential, as you know, we have 5 brands. We basically span the whole addressable market from socialized housing all the way to the, luxury segment. The strategy here is really to supply inventory as we see demand. Okay, I think that that's key. As you know, over the last few years, give or take, the market has been relatively flat on residential. So for us, the strategy is to make sure we manage our inventory tightly, not to get ahead of ourselves given the contingent liabilities associated with residential projects, and basically make sure that we supply enough product to be able to meet the demand that we're seeing. If you look at the split of our portfolio, about 90% of our residential sales still come from our top 3 brands, and the Amaya and Bellavita basically account for about 10%. Expect this split to continue around the same level, give or take, moving forward. On the leasing business, we continue to expand on the investment properties. As you know, it takes time to build up these properties until we're able to open. Usually takes about 2, 3, 4 years from groundbreaking to be able to open development. But if you look at what we've done over the last few years, we started off with the malls GLA of about 1.2. Now we're trending to be able to open about 3.1 million by 2020. And I suspect that Junior Randoni will keep on adding to this number as we move forward. But as of today, based on what we're seeing, we'll be able to achieve 2.6 times of the GLA that we had back in 2013. For offices, we started in 2013 at around 500,000. We're now trending to get to about 1.5 million. These are sites that have been secured or projects that are already announced and under construction. And for hotels, we started about 2,000 and we're now trending to meet about 6,000 hotel rooms by 2020. So this really gives us a fairly steep growth in the leasable assets that will basically provide a very stable backbone for the company beyond 2020, particularly in terms of the cash flows that these assets will be producing. As you know, we've also been investing in some other entities, particularly MCT, Pride Orion Philippines, and Ortigas. MCT has started contributing to our bottom line this year, as well as Ortigas. Prime Orion is an underutilized land bank, so expect that we'll build more leasable assets in that area. So the projection really is for these three companies to continue to contribute more and more to our bottom line as we move forward. So in conclusion, let me just
say that we continue to be committed to our targets or our target by 2020. We continue to work on meeting that 40 billion peso net income target. As you know, this is predicated on continued economic growth, continued low interest rates. BPO sector continues to be strong. Continued strong BPO sector in the country, as well as an increased tourism, both domestic and international. I think if all those conditions happen, I think we have a fairly good chance of meeting our 2020-40 plan. So again, thank you, and I'll take any questions maybe after Jimmy does his presentation, which is really the more detailed look of our first half results. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me go through the results of the first half of the year, starting off with the financial statements, followed by margins, capex, and some operating statistics. First, the key messages. We actually ended the period with a very positive net income of 9.7 billion, or 16% higher year on year. And this is on the back of revenues, which grew 8%. To 54.8 billion, driven by the steady performance of our core businesses, which grew 9%. Capex spent amounted to 43.4 billion, about half of what we budgeted for the year, certainly on track in terms of what we intend to spend to finish the projects that we've launched. And we've also launched a couple of projects with a total value of about 65.7 billion. Composed of an estate, which is in Cebu, which I will discuss later. The gate, our partnership with the Aboitiz Group in Sumangdaku, SDK, and as well as residential office for sale and various leasing products in the mall, office, and hotels sectors. So again, income statement-wise, we actually ended the period again with 9.7 billion in net earnings, representing 16% growth from 8.3 billion last year. And that was as a result of revenue growth, which was posted at 8%. The bulk of it came from our core real estate business, which expanded 9% to 53.9 billion pesos compared to last year, as a result of the steady performance of the different product lines that we have, which I will discuss a little bit later. Now, interest and other income composed of three items. Equity net earnings expanded to 267 million from negative 81 million last year, primarily as a result of the contribution of the new investments that Bobby alluded to earlier, MCT Berhad, Ortigas, which actually made the number positive. Interest in investment income, on the other hand, was lower than last year because of some lower interest income on advances as well as placements, which are not really, recurring, technically. Other income actually declined a little bit by 8% to 282 million due to lower management fees as we complete some of the projects, joint venture projects, where we derive management fees. Expenses, on the other hand, grew slower than revenues, with real estate costs and expenses only growing by 5% to 32.4 billion, which led to some margin gains, which I will discuss later. GAE, likewise, only grew 4% compared to overall revenue growth of 8%, resulting in an improved GAE to revenue ratio of 6% compared to 6.3% a year ago. Interest expense, financing, and other charges increased by 14% to 3.8 billion as a result of the, higher average loan balance, given that we continue to borrow to finance our expansion program. This is despite a slight reduction in interest rate to 4.5% from 4.7% the year before. So net of controlling interest, again, we ended the year with 9.7 billion pesos. EBIT margin was also higher at 34% compared to 31% last year as a result of the I guess, the lower cost through deliberate cost containment efforts. On the revenue breakdown, again, total revenues grew 8%. If you were to focus more on real estate revenues, it actually grew 9% to 53.9 billion. The biggest contributor of which remained to be property development, which grew 6% to 36 billion. But the components of which is really are really residential, which is the biggest contributor, expanding by 8% to 36 billion as a result of new bookings and continued project completion in the projects that we are currently undertaking. Office for sale likewise grew even higher by 43% to 3.4 billion as a result primarily of the contribution of the Alveo Financial Tower along Ayala Avenue. Commercial industrial lots declined by 42% from to 1.6 billion. This is really more of a not a normal thing that we do every now and then. It's more as a result of as we develop new estates and we want to prime the area, we normally, as you know, sell commercial lots as well to allow other investors, even developers, to help us accelerate the pace of development. So this is something that happens every now and then. So we sold less lots this year compared to last year, where we sold more Arca South commercial lots. On the commercial leasing side, we grew overall revenues by 12%, the bulk of which came from shopping centers, which grew to 7 billion or 16% as a result of the improved contribution of new malls like UP Town Center and Solina 3, which were only opened towards the end of 2015.